Wordplay Official bringing us in here on this. Wordplay Official bringing us in here on this Thursday. We thank you so much for being with us. I'm Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. This is The Lowdown. We thank you for listening on Sports 1140 AM here in Northern California. You can also listen to us across the country on the radio.com app. Truly, you can listen to us across the world on the radio.com app, on TuneIn, or on khdk.com. And that's where we're going today. We're going across the world. We got Amy Trask joining us at 1:10. A lot of Raider Nation has been asking to hear from her, and you will. Again, that is coming up at 1:10. Holly Rowe, sideline reporter for ESPN. She wrapped up a fantastic, as I told you it would be,
yes,
WNBA Finals last night. She is headed to College Station for Texas A&M and Alabama. We'll talk to her at 2:30. Nate Lundy of the Fantasy Football Hour will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. I encourage you, do not send your fantasy football questions yet. They will get lost in the shuffle. Save those for 2 o'clock. We'll give you a 10-minute warning. You can get those in, and we'll be sure to get those to Nate. And you got to listen to Nate closely because we get a lot of questions, Jason. A lot of them they're kind of the same, or they're kind of related, or they're about specific players or specific matchups. If you listen closely, we're going to encompass all of the questions that we ask Nate come in some form or fashion. From the text line or from our Twitter. That's at JasonRoss1140 or at Damian Barling. You can connect with us, as I mentioned there, on the text line at 441140. We'll get the phones here sometime in this first hour, I'm sure, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Week 5 of the NFL season kicks off tonight at 530 here on KHDK with the Patriots at the Broncos. Bill Belichick's first trip ever to Tampa Bay. How is that possible?
I know. That's strange. Brady hasn't played him. Belichick hasn't been there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. We'll have that game for you at 5:30. We'll talk about that game here in this first hour. We'll talk a little bit about your Sacramento Kings here in this first hour as well. Yesterday, we got an alert as the show was kind of moving along. We didn't have the context to it, but we were able to kind of read you the transcript of what went on with Cam Newton and a female reporter there at a press conference, a post-practice press conference. There in Charlotte, and you know, we've had an entire day to listen to it. Everybody has talked about it and digested it in some form or fashion. And you know, a lot of people have figured this out. It's kind of easy. Google is a pretty simple invention. Kara Lawson's my wife. She works in sports. I find her to be one of the most intelligent people in the sports industry, male or female. So when things like this happen with Cam Newton yesterday, I probably take it a little bit more personally than others do. I am offended by it. It's because people like Holly Rowe are friends. Doris Burke, friends. Beth Mowins, friends. They're women who are in sports, and I think they're all incredible at what they do. So when I hear Cam Newton minimize a woman, and he answered the question, and what is really incredible about all that went on yesterday is we rip reporters for stupid questions. The talk, and so do athletes, and so do you know, we talk about Andrew Luck as king of the cliche answers. There are reporters who ask cliche questions.
Sure.
So Patriots and Bucks tonight. So talk about the short week.
Right.
What kind of answer are you going to get from that?
Right. Exactly.
This woman actually asked a really good question, and Cam kind of, if you had just cut out the first 15 seconds where he laughed at her, he gave her a very good answer. But you can't cut out that 15 seconds in which you completely minute. It's funny to hear females talk about routes. I mean, if you haven't heard, I'm sure everybody has heard it by now. And he makes this face, and it's like, really, bro? Like, how would you have reacted if he's up there talking about the playbook and Bill Polian, former general manager, says, oh, wow, it's funny to hear a black quarterback talk about a playbook. You're minimalized to a stereotype. That's what he just did to that woman. Yep. And that stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah, it was when we brought it up yesterday or heard about it, you read about it, and then when I saw it, I felt differently in a way that it read differently than the way it played out. But he since has come back, and apparently those two have talked.
And but, depending on who you believe is depending on where that conversation went, because the Panther said the conversation went in one direction and the reporter said, yeah, no, it didn't. He wasn't apologetic for it. He didn't even know my name. I don't think he knew who I was. Whereas the Panthers were like, oh, yeah, Cam fully understands that he was wrong.
Didn't
like,
you tell me, too, yesterday, was this might have been off air, if I'm that he was in another interview before where he called
someone. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't. Something. I know it wasn't Josina Anderson because Josina had talked about her relationship with Cam Newton this morning. I can't remember who it was, but I know he referred to someone in a press conference. This was when I think, during the year that they won like their last seven or something like that, but they started out really bad.
Oh, right. And,
asked the question. This was when we had super pouty face Cam. He was super pouty face at these press conferences. And he said, you know, he was asked something about the offense, and he's, I don't know, sweetheart, you tell me. It's like, you don't – like, when we had Kara on the day after she signed with the Wizards, someone said – someone texted and said, why are you talking to her like that? And I responded like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, remind her to get the milk on the way home? Like,
they meant because they knew.
Right, because – yeah, and – I'm very careful about the way we talk about and talk to her on the air because of her profession and truthfully because of mine.
Yeah.
And I just, there are certain things like Holly Rose, she's going to join us at 2:30. She's the sweetest woman in the world. But I don't want to address her while we're on the air as sweetheart or honey because that's not appropriate. In fact, I think she was addressed as sweetheart one time on the air by a play-by-play guy. I'll have to look up his name, but I know she was once called sweetheart on the air. And you're listening, and she's not offended by stuff like that because that's just not in her nature.
Right.
But it's still demeaning to a certain degree. And it's people who minimize it and say things like, oh, we're too sensitive. Oh, we need to stop being sensitive. Those are guys who have probably never fallen into any sort of stereotype before.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to fall into a stereotype? Okay. This industry that we're in, Jason, has been dominated by older men for a really long time.
Absolutely.
It's been dominated by older white men for a very long time. So we can stereotype, oh, you're out of touch because you're an older white man. It's the same type of stereotype, and allowing these things to hit it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And the fact that we just saw, assuming that was today, where Ron Rivera was asked about it. He did what he could to squash at least his end of it. He's like, hey, from what I know, Cam and this reporter have talked. And I want to talk about the Detroit Lions. And I don't think he got a follow-up. And I don't blame him for wanting to move on from it. But Cam probably isn't going to be moving on from it. Or people are going to be curious as to a follow-up or just a little bit more detail from why he felt that way. And you're right. If you could put it into any other quote-unquote stereotype. Let's say the old white male. Like, ask the question. Wow. Surprised. You know that reference for being 70 years old or what?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, that's in it. Yes, I do know it. Yeah. Or whatever. What? Mm-hmm. Or, wow, you're
You
awfully,
know about launch angle?
Yeah.
That's a 2017 term. What do you know about launch angle?
You're an awfully young reporter to be in here.
Right.
Really? How old? You know, that, whatever, sex, race, gender, or I said gender, but just age, anything. I mean, why do we do that still?
I don't know.
Just a reporter.
Yeah.
Or he's a reporter, or whatever it is.
No different. No,
just answer the. Or the question could have been bad. You could make fun of the question, but not the profession person.
And that's why it's. And we're gonna get. We'll get to the calls. Les, hang tight. Just 1 second. We'll get to you, Kenny. We'll get to you in just a heartbeat. Please hang tight. If you want to get in, you certainly can. This is a great hour to do it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. My frustration with Cam is we talked, Jason. I think this was the year he won the MVP. Could Cam be the face of the franchise? Could Cam be the face of the league? And every once in a while, Cam Newton opens his mouth and reminds us, no, you can't. And Tom Brady wouldn't do. Remember, there was a Super Bowl. A kid asked Tom Brady a question. And Tom Brady gave him the greatest freaking answer you could ever give. He didn't oh, that's cute, kid. No, yeah. It's funny. No, he answered the question like it was Trey Wingo who was asking him. Mm-hmm. You treat people the same. And, again, this is the second year in a row Cam Newton has opened his mouth, and it's like, yeah, dude, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be the face of the league because you just can't do stuff like that. And he's had a terrible – I mean, going back to the sweetheart thing, remember his constant – pouty faces he had with the media there when his team struggles. his behavior after the Super Bowl that they had lost. It's just you keep reminding us.
He's a good winner, or you could say bad one. That like he's fun cam when things are good.
Taking pictures on the sidelines, doing it. Hey, remember the Cleveland Cavaliers as they were on their way to the final? We're taking pictures. We're posing. We're having fun. That's what the Carolina Panthers were doing. And then the press conference comes around. You get your ass handed to you by Denver, and suddenly you don't want to answer questions. You're pouting because you can overhear Von Miller talking on the other side of the podium, and you get up and leave.
Yeah.
Come on, Cam. You got to be better than that, man. He's too damn good of a football player to be that way in front of the media. Les, are we blowing this out of proportion?
Yes, you are, man.
Okay, tell me why.
The whole media. I mean, people are allowed to say what's on their mind and what's on their heart. Everybody don't have to be political correct. You know, you got half of the country voted for the president. He said things. Nobody's complaining about that.
Well, no, they are.
yeah, the other half isn't, but half of them is.
Okay.
There has to be some balance somewhere, man.
Well, yeah, but do you understand how...
I truly do. I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate here.
Okay. That's okay then. That's okay. Les, we appreciate you. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks,
Thank you for the call. We do appreciate you very much. Kenny, what are you thinking, man? Talk to me.
Hey, you know what, man? I totally got an opposite view of what you're saying, and I'll tell you why. And this is part of the reason why I'm almost turned off with the NFL, because they just pretty much just feminized the whole thing. Here's my point. I don't know, Cam, about the past and all the other stuff that he said. I've raised an eyebrow, but I'm only speaking of this particular moment. And what Cam said, he did not degrade this woman. Just listening to him in context before people put their own little spin on it. You know what? If I went to a mechanic, and it was a female mechanic, and she knew every little thing about the vehicle, about the car, what have you, I'm going to be taken back a little bit, not because I'm being sexist or misogynistic or what have you. It's only because I wasn't accustomed to a woman being that involved, that detailed. This reporter asked a good question. She asked a question that you typically don't hear, especially from a woman, let alone a man, but especially from a woman. And his reaction was like, wow, okay, it was kind of funny to hear that. He answered the question. He did not degrade her. He simply said, you just caught me off guard, because like a female mechanic, he wasn't expecting that question from a woman. She took it to a whole new level and made it seem like, oh, my God, this is he's being misogynistic and what have you. Look, it's going to get to the point to where the NFL and then their press conferences, they're going to have a side room that's going to be a safe space where they have pillows and pudding cups. This man, in that particular moment, did not degrade that woman, and I think people are really taking it so far. They take it so far to the left, it's ridiculous. And even the comments that you've made, it's like, come on, man, back up a little bit. He did not degrade and did not insult that woman. He was taken off guard because he just wasn't expecting that detailed of a question to come from a woman. Why? Because women usually don't get that detail. They'll ask a good question.
No, but see, you're wrong. See, that's where I think that you're wrong, Kenny's. One, a lot of reporters, period, male or female, don't get that detail, get that detailed with their question. And he didn't need to preface it. Wow, it's funny to hear a female talking about routes. He could have prefaced it as, wow, it's funny to hear such a detailed question from a reporter. That's an entirely different situation.
But I've heard reporters ask a detailed question.
Then you've heard good reporters.
Let's say not detailed, but a specific question when it comes to route running. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching on one of those sports shows, and Shannon Sharpe was talking about Dez Bryant and his route running. This is not something, and I'm not saying that women can't do it. I'm not saying that, oh my God, this is out of a woman's qualification, but it's just something that you wasn't expecting to hear. It's no different than going.
But why not, Kenny? Why not, Kenny? Why not?
Because it's not common yet.
I disagree.
Well, this is why I'm using the mechanic. You know, when you go to a mechanic shop, it's a male-dominated field. But everybody's always impressed. We even see it in our media and the movies. Everybody's always impressed when a woman knows more about the vehicle than the dude does. He's not putting her down. He's just, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
I guess, Kenny, I guess I just don't understand that line of thinking, because if I take my car, me, a freaking know-nothing, sit-behind-a-mic-and-talk radio show host for 3 hours, takes my car to a mechanic, and whether it's a male, a female, or a freaking 10-year-old who's working as a mechanic tells me about my car, there is nothing I'm going to be surprised about, because that's obviously what they're doing. It's their profession.
Yes, but if you know, and mind you, if you know about vehicles, then if a child was a top mechanic, and you went there and took your car in, you know about cars, but I'm gonna take it in and have him fix it. And then the child came in and he did a great job. You're still gonna be, you're gonna make note of that. I'm not saying that you're putting the child down. You're still respecting them. You're giving them the business. Cam gave her the business in the sense that, hey, I'm going to honor this question and answer it because it was a good question. He just wasn't expecting her to say that. Why? Because he's not a, because this is a male-dominated field, and usually when you go into particulars in football, in this particular case, you're accustomed just by conditioning, just by the history of the game, you're used to hearing a man talk in that greater detail. And so he was just taken back. He didn't put her down. He just says, I wasn't expecting it. I think we're just taking this a little bit too far.
Okay,
every
Kenny.
Every little thing that I'll finish up with this point if you allow me to.
Go ahead.
It's to the point that because a female is involved, then any little thing that she says, if you make note, I wasn't expecting that from you, then all of a sudden it's this big political, you're not being PC, you're just totally feminizing the whole moment. And it's like, look, let's just call it what it is. You know, he was taken back. That wasn't a sly on her being a woman or being a female. He just wasn't expecting that question to come from a female. And yet he still honored it.
Okay,
this
Kenny.
This is the reason why I'm getting turned off with football, because they're feminizing everything.
Kenny, come on, man. Kenny, stop. Calm down.
Do you think so backing up to Cam and this reporter, didn't he say he didn't know her?
He didn't know, yeah.
He wasn't familiar with her?
Right.
I'm trying to, because I think we've gotten to a spot where we have heard many people on this show that we think so highly of Doris Burke. But mm-hmm. other people will go, Doris Burke is as good as they get.
Mm-hmm.
They know her. They've seen her. They've heard from her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not defending Cam in this situation, but is it one of those, okay, here's the next, I don't know who this is. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Now, it could be taken two ways, but I think maybe he went, I think the next time he hears from her, she asks another question, like, okay, she knows football. But I don't know that why he went there, but I think that's my best read on it without, you know, obviously being there or knowing the parties. But I think we all kind of go into it, like, let's use the kid example. So we're holding a press conference here for something about KHDK. We recognize most of the pool, and we get this question guy or gal doesn't ask as good of questions. This person asks great questions. There's someone we don't know, and it's a kid. And then they ask, like, wow, I just wasn't – could it be as simple as, I don't know who that is? I kind of went when I go, okay, you in the front, and then I was thinking the question was going to be – and again, this is kind of feeding both narratives, but, hey, is it fun talking on the radio? Like, you think that's what's coming, and it's, hey, what do you find the most difficult topic to address? You know, it's like, I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been as...
It could have been, but why make the line about a female then? If that's the case, you could have reacted the same exact way. Whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
True, but I think he wasn't expecting it because she was a female. Now, that's where it goes down the road of what's right, what's wrong, maybe he didn't know her. What question? I don't know what question he was expecting. I honestly don't know.
And here we are. We've got to be pretty damn close to 24 hours later, right? Like, it's three. I mean, Ron Rivera's already spoken today. It's about 3:20.
I think it was somewhere in our show yesterday.
Okay, why not address it then?
Ron or Cam?
No, not Ron. Cam.
Yeah.
Ron shouldn't have to address this. This has nothing to do with Ron Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Cam should have to address this. Oh.
To us to her? Like, why does he owe it to us?
Well, we're the ones talking about it. And when us,
and
you mean
opinion.
The media.
Yeah, not us, of course.
Why not just come out and say, you guys completely missed it. I was just completely taken back by the question. And, you know, between her and, you know, you'll hear Holly Rowe later and Amy Trask and Josina Anderson and Wendy Nix. But, man, it's just, there's There's an evolution in the sports world that used to be dominant. I mean, you come out and you say something like, okay, yeah, this is a non-story. You got,
yeah.
But he hasn't. And he's dropped by the yogurt company got rid of him.
Right. He already lost
it's a, like, yeah. You could have cleaned this up right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might not have let him. I mean, of course, I'm armchair reporting here. I might have said, well, wait, what's funny about it? That would have been my question, because if you notice.
From her.
Yeah. Like, as he's, it's funny that you females are asking this. I might have stood up and said, whoa, 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 what's funny? Like, yeah. Why is it funny? I would have wanted the answer right then. I can understand why another reporter didn't say that, because then you're stepping on the question that she asked. But if Jordan, and I've heard her name pronounced four different ways this morning, so I'm not going to attempt, but her first name is Jordan. I might have just, whoa, why?
Yeah.
Like, you did a sit down with Josina Anderson. You've been on with Wendy Nixon. Why is it funny? Did you want a generic question? Would you prefer I say, tell me about?
Yeah.
Tell me about Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, what's happening, brother?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey.
Just wanted to chime in on this whole Cam Newton thing. I hear a lot of people calling in, you know, talking about it's freedom of speech. He can say whatever he wants. We shouldn't be, you know, vilifying him and stuff. You know, I'm all for freedom of speech and stuff, but we're perfectly free to vilify someone when they say something stupid. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, yeah, I'm totally on board. If he wants to say that, that's fine. But you're a celebrity. You're on a national stage. You should have the self-awareness to know that maybe I shouldn't say this. This might be a stupid comment to say. And that's the problem I have. It's, you know, yeah, he's free to say it, but know where you are and, you know your audience. Know that this isn't going to go over quite well. It's different for people like you and me that don't have a camera shoved in our face 24 hours a day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on a stage like Cam Newton, you know, you have to be more careful with your words like that. And to the people, you know, not making a huge deal out of it, the fact that, oh, it's a female, no big deal. He was just caught off guard. What if a reporter said to say, and this is just an example, what if a reporter said to LeBron James during a press conference, wow, I didn't know you were so eloquent at speaking. How do you think that would go over?
That's a good,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
good point.
Do you think they would still come back and do you think they would vilify the reporter? Or do you think they would come to the aid of LeBron James? It just seems like a weird parallel here. And, you know, I mean, it was a stupid comment and, you know, Cam should know better. And yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Adam. No, we appreciate you. I kind of thought the response would be big. I didn't think it would be this big. Everybody, Jeremy, Amar, Andre, Joey, hang tight. Give me 4 minutes, and I promise we'll get to each and every single one of you. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, there's a little bit of space. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The Diamondbacks advance. They're going to face the Dodgers. We got to talk a little baseball here in this first hour. We got to talk about the game tonight. We got to talk about the Sacramento Kings. Amy Trash joins us at 1. We're just getting started here on the Lowdown. We got some great responses here on the text line to Cam Newton. I'm trying to find the one that Chris brought up a second ago. We got a lot more than I expected. That response to that opener was pretty big. Y'all right over there?
Oh yeah.
Cam Newton. It was something. Oh, Cam fumbled his words and he wasn't able to recover because he didn't want to get injured. That was funny. And then I wish. Oh, there's so many texts that were good. I wish there was some way I could save them. Oh, here it is. Reporters should have hit Cam with the Joe Pesci response. Funny how?
Yeah.
Am I an effing clown? Mm-hmm. Do I effing amuse you? Please tell me how I'm funny. Oh, these are great. Text Nation, you always win. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Joey, we really appreciate your patience, my man.
Oh, you're welcome. Actually, they took my thunder. I was gonna say they could have shown me the Joey Pesci thing.
Oh man, sorry. So that's my bad, Joey. That's my bad.
Hey, it's all good. But let me tell you something though. Listening to Kenny, people like Kenny that just called you and was trying to defend Cam Newton. I'm sorry. I know you guys can't say it, but I will. Kenny, you're a buffoon. Okay. How are you gonna sit there and try to make examples about certain things when things are what they are? Yes, I'm going to take my car to someone because that's what they specialize in. I don't care who they are. Obviously, they've passed everything that they needed to pass to be able to get to that certain point, to be able to service someone or to help someone. That reporter, I'm sure, has gone through what she's needed to get to be able to be sitting inside an NFL at press conference to be able to ask those questions.
Yeah.
And for Cam Newton to be able to, like, smirk about it, you know, would the tides be turned if an Olympic woman's, let's say, woman swimmer and a male reporter asked her about something, would she, like, say something about him? Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's funny to hear men talk about the breaststroke. Get it? Like, yeah, no, I hear you, Joey. I hear you. We appreciate you, man. I think Joey's calling from outer space. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell, but I think he's calling from one of the moons.
The moon.
The moons, indeed. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling.
Hey, the sad part about the Cam Newton thing is this isn't a woman that hasn't been around the team. She's been the beat reporter for the local newspaper for the last year and has introduced herself to him multiple times, and he still doesn't know who she is. So she's not just some woman off the street who just walked in to ask questions. She's been around the team for a year asking questions, and the fact that he doesn't even remember her, that just speaks volumes of who Cam Newton is.
Yeah, and I thanks for the call, Josh, and that's another great point. And I hate to – I saw something – somebody tweeted something about Kirk Cousins. I don't remember who it was, but Kirk Cousins keeps the media –
like headshots.
Roster
yeah.
in his locker so he knows everyone's name. That's rare. If you ask a big market NFL team, or I mean, Carolina's, I don't know if that's considered a big market or not, but most of those guys probably don't know reporters' names. Some do. He's going to know Jordan's name. He's going to know her name moving forward. But, Kirk Cousins' approach, like to knowing every member of the media's name, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
When we have guests on, ones that aren't regular guests, Chris will tell them, hey, Damon's going to bring you in. Jason's with them. Guests will sometimes refer to you as name by name. Oh, here, Damon, this is why. Or here, yeah. Jason, this is why. Not everyone does that.
Right.
Like, that's just not the way everybody operates. And it's not, you know, if you're telling me Cam had no idea who this woman was and thought she walked in off the street, then, yeah, that does tell you something about Cam Newton. If he just didn't know her name,
Yeah, I can believe that he didn't. Yeah. But if it's truly been a year for her there— They've been in the same circle enough.
Around the team.
Recognize her at least. Like maybe she hasn't asked a bunch of questions. All right. But she's still asking when you know she's a reporter. You know she's working.
For those who don't she's the equivalent of what Matt Barrows is to the 49ers or what Jason Jones is to the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
She's at every practice, every press conference, every game. And so, taking all of that out to account, it felt to me. And again, I acknowledged when we started, maybe I'm oversensitive to this stuff, that he was completely minimizing her because she was a female. Jeremy.
Damian, Jason, how you guys doing, buddy?
Great.
Man, okay, so I listen to your show every day. I've never had a chance to call before, and I normally enjoy all of Kenny's calls. But today, man, he's a jackass.
Well, hold on. Let's stop two things. One, let's not confuse Kenny with Ken, two different people.
Hmm. Oh,
and then let's not confuse Kenny and Ken with Ken, the Ken.
Yeah.
But let's also, look, talk about, you're more than welcome to comment on what he said, but let's not call out other people who have called this show. So go ahead, Jeremy. No, you're all right. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. If he's going to say that it's okay for Cam Newton to say that he was surprised or whatever that a female knew so much about football, for one thing, he needs to remember this. There are plenty of women out there who know a lot about football and probably a lot of women who know a lot more about football than he does. He has also got to remember there are women's football leagues out there. So obviously there's women who know things about route running and football analytics and stuff like that. So why is he defending Cam Newton for saying that he's surprised that a woman would know this? There's all kinds of women who know this stuff.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Jeremy. We appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. And that's kind of, I think, the part that's frustrating is why are we still looking at this like it's such a surprise? Like years after Susie Colbert, years after Andrea Kramer, years after all these people. Really, Cam, you're still surprised, bro?
Well, look at
Can you imagine a reporter saying to like a white wide receiver, man, it's funny to hear you talk about speed.
Yeah.
Like you guys aren't traditionally fast.
How are you doing it?
Yeah. Weird, bro.
But look at we had the show, it's not that many weeks ago, after the first Monday night game, the doubleheader, and as you said, our friend on the show, Beth Mowens, we had her on a couple times, but she was on. We had a lot of people criticize her and Rex Ryan, really. But some of it literally was, I don't want to hear a female. I just don't want. It was like, wait, did you like her? If you said you didn't like her play by play, or you thought she wasn't as good, that's fair enough. That's that's being critical. But it was, I'm not ready for a female voice.
And that was an argument that we had with Ken Rudolph. Mm-hmm. There's too many Kens on this show. When Ken Rudolph was here, and Beth first came on the show after it was announced she was going to do the Monday Night Football game. I think Ken actually asked that question, didn't he? Like, can I not like her just because I don't like her? Or if I say I don't like her, is it immediately I don't like her because of because she's a woman?
That's a fair question.
Well, when you come out and say, I just don't like hearing a female voice, well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
You don't care what she's saying. You don't care how knowledgeable she is. I heard stupid stuff like, oh, she can't project loud enough.
Mm-hmm.
The hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? She can't project loud enough. You got Rex Ryan over here who sounds like he just woke up from a nap, but she's taking the brunt of it. When you look at that entire Monday Night Football broadcast, there was one bright spot, and it was Beth Mowins. You had my guy on the sideline report who became was it Sergio?
Yeah.
Who became an internet god.
Yeah.
And then you had Rex, who even when you watch Rex's commercials on ESPN, he sounds like he's napping.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying to tell, you know, do the if your
the
cash
joke.
Is wrinkled, is it still straight cash, homie?
Yeah.
It's like this isn't coming across well. Like this isn't the guy from Hard Knocks, right? You have no personality, you have no nothing.
Which that's what he is known for, is personality.
But he's a man.
Yeah.
So he's already ahead of the curve because he's a man. So I just can't stand listening to this woman's voice.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Get used to it, because guess who's taking Doug Collins' place on ESPN during some of the primetime ESPN games and NBA games this season?
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Doris Burke.
Yep.
Get used to it. It's in fact, you should already be used to it. Hell, we were Sacramento. We were one of the first ones with Kara as the pregame host.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of those around. What do you think? What do you think got Kara her gig at ESPN?
Right.
The Kings were good. People around the country were watching the Kings on League Pass. You talk about League Pass ratings, Kings were high. That's how she got noticed. That's how she got her job. All the while, she wanted to learn more about what the Kings were doing. We've talked about this before. Rick Adelman was like, nah, she can't come in here. Now, you have noted to me, because you were around, Rick Adelman is just a surly old bastard. That's the way he is.
That
he didn't even want anybody.
Him and Petrie, they didn't let people in. It was Fort Knox.
Didn't want people around.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you were ever referred to as a distraction. She was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still, sports is still a male-dominated industry, and in many cases, it's still an old male-dominated industry. We're going to shift gears now. The Diamondbacks have advanced. They're going to face the Dodgers. The Yankees are in Cleveland tonight. The Sox are in Houston. We'll talk about that. Patriots and Bucks tonight at 5:30. We'll talk a little bit of Kings. We've got Amy Trask in 15 minutes. We'll keep it moving here on Sports 1140. Got Amy Trask joining us in 15 minutes. Actually, no, it's not 15 minutes. Sorry, it's not the top of the 1 o'clock hour. It's going to be about 1:10. Amy will join us. She's in popular demand today.
Yeah.
As you might guess, given the lead story in sports. If you want to jump in, now would be a good time. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The text line has been fantastic at 44-1140. Hey, Keith, we appreciate the call, man. What's on your mind?
Except you guys. First and foremost, I agree with you guys. I thought Cam was out of order. He just needs to apologize and get past it. He made a mistake, own it, and then move on. But my question was, of course, NBA basketball.
There you go.
Houston will be in town game one for Sacramento. I'll be there to watch the dismantle first, up close and personal. But my question is this, and I'll take the question off air. What's you guys' top four teams out west? I think it's obviously Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, and OKC. You can flip OKC and Houston and the Spurs any way you want to. I think teams are going to be surprised about how good the Rockets are. They were decent last year in defense, but there's this thing going on about OKC that they're just going to be this lockdown defensive team. I'll give you Paul George, but other than him, and maybe Roberson as well. But now guys are putting Westbrook in that category as a lockdown point guard defensive player. I'd never seen it. I don't see it. We know what Carmelo Anthony is. They don't have any bench, no three-point shooting, really. Are you guys just saying that based on those three guys that they're just going to be that elite? Because if Kawhi is a Spurs-only top guy And teams look at the Spurs as an elite team, but you don't put Houston past OKC. And when they clearly have a better team with Eric, Ryan, James, Chris, Ariza, Tucker, why is OKC looked at as this elite team when they have no bench players, no three-point shooting? It's mind-boggling. I mean, I have two eyes of my own, and just because Stephen A. Smith says it doesn't mean that I'm going to believe it. I'll take that question off here. Thanks, guys.
Hey, we appreciate you, Keith, man. Thank you so much for that. Sorry, Keith. I'm on board for the Thunder.
Yeah.
I'm on board for the Thunder. And when you asked about the top four teams, are we in agreement that with Keith? He had the Warriors, the Spurs, and then you'll go any order, 2, 3, 4, Spurs, Rockets, Thunder.
I am. I think I'm starting to put the Spurs fourth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I know.
It'll make you regret
it.
They're, hey, see it, 57, 58, 59 wins.
Which that might be where they are, but fourth.
You know better. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I forgot Pau Gasol was on the Spurs until I was down at the Golden 1 Center and Pau Gasol walked past me. I was like, oh, hey.
Hey, didn't you used to be?
You're still
here.
Are.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I like OKC's roster and Houston's roster a little better than the Spurs.
Keith asked why so much hype on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, you have three great scorers. Yeah. Oh, okay. You have two great scorers, one guy who was a great scorer, who you think can be a great scorer. You're not really sure what type of player he's going to be yet in Oklahoma City. I know the focus in Oklahoma City is Russ and PG-13 and Melo. I understand. I really like Steven Adams.
I do too.
And I think Steven Adams is a really – I know Andre Roberson is a
role player.
Yes, and he's good in certain situations.
Patrick Patterson was a good addition for them too.
And that was the other one.
Yeah.
That's the other one. So,
I mean, they're not loaded top to bottom. Houston's deeper, but there's some really good high-level players on OKC.
I do like that team, and Keith said if you can flip 2, 3, 4 any way you want. I don't know that Oklahoma City isn't second. The team, you know, the way Keith felt about Oklahoma City is kind of the way I feel about Houston. I feel like Houston, you bought in Chris Paul, which is fantastic, but you got rid of a lot of pieces that were, particularly Patrick Beverley, that were really good for you to get you where you got last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one where it's like, okay, if San Antonio finishes second, I'm not surprised. If Oklahoma City finishes second, I'm not surprised. But if Houston does, I am a little bit surprised because Chris Paul is that elite of a player, but they lost a lot to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked in sync last year. I know James Harden was really good. I know Mike D'Antoni was really good. But they all worked really well together to win 54, 55 games, whatever it was. I don't know where they pick up now with those pieces gone.
Yeah, I think the offense was already pretty elite. I think it's gotten better, though. That offense is going to be
really
pretty special. Yeah, I think. I mean, I know they've dropped some of the overall depth, some of it. But, I mean, they still have Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Ariza, Capella, and then Chris Paul and James Harden.
And maybe what I'm not giving Chris Paul enough credit for is Chris Paul actually is a really good defender.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always do it because I think a lot of the time he doesn't feel like he has to do it. But Chris Paul, if Patrick Beverley is an A-plus defender, Chris Paul is probably a solid A defender. So maybe I haven't given them enough credit and I just need to watch them play for a little bit. I haven't seen them I didn't get to see much of the Houston-Oklahoma City game the other night.
Yeah.
So I'm anxious to watch them play a little bit. I watched a little bit last night. I told you I was going to watch the WNBA Finals and I did. And then I flipped over and watched the rest of that crazy wild card game. So
yeah.
I didn't get to watch the preseason. I think Cleveland was on last night. NBA TV was airing a couple other ones.
Yeah, I think the other part of what Houston did, though, in their offseason, besides obviously Chris Paul, to make their offense a little more dynamic, you mentioned him defensively, but Ba Mute they added, so he's a better perimeter defender. Tucker, as Keith mentioned, just tougher. I think they got tougher, a little bit more physical defensively, but their offense will still be what they're known for.
The Diamondbacks advanced last night in a just a weird game where
triples galore.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Just points. They're not even called points. Runs on top of runs on top of runs. Hey,
points.
Big comeback. We got a game here, boys.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. They just scored four more runs. Now it's a big deficit again.
Yeah, I checked in different times and watched the last three innings. It was 6-0. I'm like, wow, this one's over. Then 6-5, next thing I knew. And it was There was just some pretty good drama throughout, and yet another very, very, very long baseball game with all those kind of runs.
Oh,
and it was even
man.
National League, which generally are a little bit quicker. But I've always said the time doesn't bother me, but I know probably for the masses, from first pitch to end, that's time-consuming.
I want to shout out Corey Gales. She was the one who texted us about the Diamondbacks and Rockies being the best.
Okay.
The best game
yeah.
to watch. And she sent me a message on Facebook last night to make sure I watched it. I haven't had a chance to respond
okay.
to her yet. But I did watch a good chunk of it. So they've moved along. They'll face the Dodgers coming up. Your boys, the Yankees in Cleveland tonight and the Sox.
Yeah, it's about to get going.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. These early starts, these staggered starts. Just to let you know, Amy Trask with us at 110. We tried to get Jessica Mendoza today. She's flying across the country because they're doing Cubs and Nationals. She's going to join us later on in the series.
That's good. She's really good at her
she
job, too.
She is incredible.
That's a good crew. Dan Shulman's very good. She's very good. Aaron Boone, that whole crew. And I know some people, not even some, I saw it a lot on social media. It's one of my favorite broadcasters is Ernie Johnson.
Absolutely.
But he's doing the game, and I love everything about him. I don't love his play-by-play.
Yeah, I feel like...
I don't know how to describe it.
He doesn't capture... He's a tremendous storyteller.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you always want your play-by-play guy to be the storyteller.
Yeah.
That's a better analyst... Or unless it's a blowout. You know what I mean?
Or like the one that I think of that's done that, but he usually does it works by himself is Vin Scully.
Well, I was going to say unless yeah. you're a radio guy.
Yeah.
And then it's entirely different when you're calling a baseball game on radio than when you're calling it... on television. I didn't realize Cleveland was 42-8 over the final 50 games of the season.
Yeah.
Nervous much?
Oh, of course.
Can your boy get past that performance the other night after getting yanked?
Severino?
After an out?
That I don't know.
He was on course to be like, they were counting on him
yeah.
in the playoffs.
And that has to give Girardi some alarm there.
He took a psychological bat to the stomach in
yes,
that game.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We'll come back. Hour number two of the Lowdown on the way. Amy Trask in 15 minutes. We'll talk some Kings basketball all here on the Lowdown.